The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to our May 2025 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. If you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about that at the end of the program as well. This month, we will take a look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of April at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. We begin with a brand new psychological thriller from best-selling author Freida McFadden. This one is called The Crash. The nightmare she's running from is nothing compared to where she's headed. Here's the plot. Tegan is 8 months pregnant, alone, and desperately wants to put her crumbling life in the rearview mirror. So she hits the road, planning to stay with her brother until she can figure out her next move. But she doesn't realize she's heading straight into a blizzard. Literally, she never arrives at her destination. Stranded in rural Maine with a dead car and broken ankle, Tegan worries she's made a terrible mistake. Then a miracle occurs. She is rescued by a couple who offers her a room in their warm cabin until the snow clears. But something isn't right. Tegan believes she was waiting out the storm, but as time ticks by, she comes to realize she is in grave danger. This safe haven isn't what she thought it was, and staying here may have been her most deadly mistake yet. And now she must do whatever it takes to save herself and her unborn child. A gut-wrenching story of motherhood, survival, and twisted expectations from the best-selling author Freida McFadden. A snowbound thriller that will chill you to the bone. It is called The Crash. Now let's turn to a book by Jonathan Kellerman. This is a relatively new book entitled Open Season. Here's the plot for this one. Psychologist Alex Delaware and Lieutenant Milo Sturgis collaborate for the 40th time to solve a series of puzzling murders in the Los Angeles area. Deep into a Saturday night, a car pulls up to a hospital and the driver dumps a body and speeds away. Despite first impressions, it's not an overdose. But then the coroner finds no wounds on the body. What's going on? It's the first in a cluster of killings that have the two friends working together again. The victim was a photogenic 25-year-old woman with images of herself posted online. It appears that she may have hooked up with a fake movie producer. Then a guy who was shot in the neck appears to have been responsible for the woman's death. And then another also shot with precision to hit the jugular and carotid artery at an exact angle. And that victim may have been coming on to someone's daughter a little too strongly. Perhaps these two separate victims were killed for two separate motives, united in death by one hired killer. or Mr. Snipers, a knight-errant avenging victims of abuse, or he might be helping someone in a custody battle. In one case, a woman is shot in a rowboat in the middle of a lake, leaving her unharmed child wailing and helpless. Arthur Kellerman, a psychologist himself, by the way, applies his professional knowledge with a light touch, mixing in a generous helping of police procedure, so all the readers notice is that they're being entertained. And speaking of helpings, Milo seems to enjoy helping himself to whatever is in the Delaware's refrigerator. What else would you expect? They've been friends since 1985. The two men are at best at what they do and complement each other in cracking open, difficult cases. Alex's wife, Robin, helps him zero in on a common theme about the killings. What a great relationship. When she's not pursuing her own interests, they're either having thoughtful conversations or joyous sex. Well, meanwhile, Milo admires Alex for his intellect. I go to sleep and produce night music. You reinvent the wheel. The story moves quickly and smoothly with vivid descriptions, such as a woman with hoop earrings the size of drink coasters. A treat for fans of crime fiction, for sure. Delaware and Sturgis are a durable duo. Once again, the book is entitled Open Season, and it's by Jonathan Kellerman. And our next book for this month is entitled Legacy of Lies. It is a legal thriller by Robert Bailey. A small-town attorney takes on prejudice and corruption in this powerful legal thriller. Here's the plot. Small-town lawyer Bosephus Haynes comes home late one night to find District Attorney General Helen Lewis waiting for him. Her ex-husband has just been killed. She's about to be arrested for his murder, and she wants Bo to represent her. There's a lot working against them. Just before his death, Helen's ex-husband threatened to reveal a dark secret from her past. Bo has been in a tailspin since his wife's death. What's more, his whole life has been defined by a crime committed against his family, and he continues to face prejudice as the only African-American litigator in Pulaski, Tennessee. Bo's back is against the wall, and Helen resigns herself to a dismal fate. But a stunning discovery throws everything into chaos. There's a chance for justice, but to achieve it, the cost might be too much for Bo to bear. Once again, this book is a legal thriller entitled Legacy of Lies, and it was written by Robert Bailey. Another mystery, this one's called Paranoia. It's a Michael Bennett thriller, The Most Beloved Family in Crime Fiction by James Patterson. New York Police Department Detective Michael Bennett will stop at nothing to protect family, his kids, and his wife, and his fellow officers in the latest psychological thriller from best-selling author James Patterson. At every death scene, Bennett says a prayer over the victim. But recently, too many of the departed have been fellow cops. I want you to look at these deaths on special assignment, NYPD Inspector Celeste Cantor says. Report only to me. Bennett excels as a solo investigator, but he's chasing a killer who feeds on isolation and paranoia. And that's the name of this book, Paranoia. It's another Michael Bennett thriller by James Patterson. Now another murder mystery, this time by J.D. Robb. This is a new one entitled Bonded in Death. Homicide detective Eve Dallas must entangle a twisted family history while a hostage's life hangs in the balance. This is In Abandon and Death. It's by the best-selling author J.D. Robb. We hear his work quite a few times on this program. Very popular author. Here's the plot for this one. The woman's body was found in the early morning on a bench in a New York City playground. Now, she was clean, her hair neatly arranged, her makeup carefully applied, but other things were very wrong. Like the tattoo and piercings, clearly new. The clothes, decades out of date. The fatal wound hidden beneath a ribbon around her neck. And the note, "Bad Mommy," written in crayon as if by a child. Eve Dallas turns to the department's top profiler, who confirms what seems obvious to Eve. They're dealing with a killer whose childhood involves some sort of trauma, a situation Eve is all too familiar with herself. Yet the clues suggest a perpetrator who'd be roughly 60 years old, and there are no records of old crimes with a similar M.O. What was the trigger that apparently reopened such an old wound and sent someone over the edge? When Eve discovers that other young women who physically resemble the very first victim have vanished, the clock starts ticking louder. But to solve this case, she will need to find her way into a hidden place of dim light and concrete, into the distant past, and into the cold depths of a shattered mind. Once again, this one is entitled Bonded in Death, and it's a new one by J.D. Robb. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, a monthly presentation from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you're enjoying the program. We are certainly inundated today with the murder mysteries. Here's another one, Presumed Guilty by Scott Turow. This is a courtroom drama from the best-selling author of Presumed Innocent, the phenomenon that, as you may recall, redefined the legal thriller and is the basis for Apple TV Plus's most watched drama series ever, Presumed Innocent. But this book is a new one entitled Presumed Guilty by Scott Turow. Here's the plot for this one. Rusty is a retired judge attempting a third act in life with a loving, soon-to-be wife, Bee, with whom he shares both a restful home on an idyllic lake in the rural Midwest and a plaintive hope that this marriage will be his best and his last. But the peace that's taken Rusty so long to find evaporates when Bee's young adult son, Aaron, living under their supervision while on probation for drug possession, disappears. If Aaron doesn't return soon, he will be sent back to jail. Well, Aaron eventually turns up with a vague story about a camping trip with his troubled girlfriend, May, that ended in a fight and a long hitchhike home. Days later, when she still hasn't returned, suspicion falls on Aaron, and when May is subsequently discovered dead, Aaron is arrested and set for trial on charges of first-degree murder. Well, faced with few choices and even fewer hopes, Bee begs Rusty to return to court one last time to defend her son and to save their last best hope for happiness. For Rusty, the question is not whether to defend Aaron or whether the boy is in fact innocent. It's whether the system to which he has devoted his entire life can ever provide true justice for those who are presumed guilty. That's the name of that book, Presumed Guilty, by the popular author Scott Turow. Now, speaking of popular authors, here's one by Danielle Steele. This one is entitled Never Say Never. This deeply moving novel from Danielle Steele tells the story of a woman who finds her life turned upside down while living temporarily in the French countryside. Una Kelly Webster has much to be grateful for. A striking woman with red hair and green eyes, she has a loving family and a job she adores, editing a prestigious line of books. To celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary, she and her husband Charles have planned a visit to France. And then Charles drops a bombshell. He has been living a lie, hiding an affair for a year, and he is leaving Una for a younger male lover. Although devastated, Una decides to travel to France without Charles. She arrives in a charming village an hour outside of Paris and settles into the house she has rented called La Belle Florence, named after the king's mistress for whom it was built. But just as she's catching her breath, she's dealt another blow. Her company's merger will eliminate her job. Well, in the space of a few months, everything she nurtured for decades has slipped through her fingers. The only silver lining is that she can remain in France, where the simple life and beautiful surroundings slowly begins to heal her, as does the little white dog she rescues and her friendly neighbor hailing from Trinidad, who delights her with his openness and his warmth. Though she does not recognize him at first, she soon realizes her neighbor is a well-known actor. As their feelings for each other begin to deepen, Una wrestles with the risks of opening her heart again, especially to a younger man, and a very famous man at that. Never Say Never is an inspiring novel about a woman who finds a second chance at happiness and love, all because she understands the importance of being brave enough to stay open to change. Once again, it's called Never Say Never, and it's by Danielle Steele. Well, we've had quite a few murder mysteries and thrillers and everything on this program so far, so now it's time to have a little change of pace, particularly since the passing of a very popular Pope Francis within the past month. Let's turn to a book called Hope. It's the autobiography by the late Pope Francis, and I have read that it is the first autobiography to be written by any pope. Pope Francis originally intended this exceptional memoir to appear only after his death, but the needs of our times and the 2025 Jubilee Year of Hope moved him to make this precious legacy available sooner, so it's been out on the market and available in bookstores for a while now. Now, especially after his death, the book stands as his testament, the spiritual, faith-filled, as well as moral, social, and civic legacy that he envisioned and left for the benefit of all the men and women of the world. The New York Times says about this book, Hope vividly recreates the colorful world where the young George Mario Bergoglio grew up. Here's the content of this book. Hope is the first autobiography ever to be published by a pope, as I mentioned. Written over 6 years, this complete autobiography starts in the early years of the 20th century, with Pope Francis's Italian roots and his ancestors' courageous migration to Latin America, continuing through his childhood, the enthusiasms and preoccupations of his youth, his vocation, adult life, and the whole of his papacy up to the present day. In recounting his memories with intimate narrative force, not forgetting his own personal passions, Pope Francis deals unsparingly with some of the crucial moments of his papacy, and he writes candidly, fearlessly, and prophetically about some of the most important and controversial questions of our present times. War and peace, including the conflict in Ukraine and the Middle East, migration, environmental crisis, social policy, the position of women, sexuality, technological developments, the future of the church, and of religion in general. Hope includes a wealth of revelations, anecdotes, and illuminating thoughts. It's a thrilling and very human memoir, moving and sometimes funny, which represents the story of a life and at the same time a touching moral and spiritual testament that will fascinate readers throughout the world and will be Pope Francis's legacy of hope for future generations. This book also is enhanced by some remarkable photographs, including private and unpublished material that was made personally available by Pope Francis himself. Once again, the book is entitled Hope, and it is the autobiography by the late Pope Francis. It was released just within a few months before his death, only a few weeks ago. I think you will enjoy that one. Now we'll get back to the mystery stories here. Familiar name to all of us, Robert Parker. This is Robert B. Parker's Buried Secrets, and it's by Christopher Farnsworth. Police Chief Jesse Stone investigates the mystery behind a dead body found strewn with photos of murder victims and placed on top of $2 million in cash before a mob of hitmen converge on Paradise. So you might say this is just another day in paradise. Here's the plot. Chief of Police Jesse Stone is on his way from a long shift when a call comes in for a welfare check on an elderly resident of the wealthy seaside town of Paradise, Massachusetts. Now, inside a house packed with junk and trash is a man's dead body. It's a sad, lonely end, but nothing criminal until Jesse finds the photos of murder victims strewn around the corpse on top of a treasure trove of $2 million in cash. Now, Jesse takes on the case and finds a trail leading to an aging mobster who will do whatever it takes to keep the past from coming to light. Before long, Jesse has a price on his head as hitmen converge on Paradise to take back the cash and destroy any remaining evidence. But the real danger might be coming from inside his own department. Jesse Stone must unearth the truth buried under the wreckage of a dead man's life before he winds up in the ground himself. Once again, it's called Robert B. Parker's Buried Secrets, and it's by author Christopher Farnsworth. Now let's talk about another nonfiction book that I think you will really enjoy. It was one of the more popular nonfiction books in the past month. It's entitled Language of Kindness, A Nurse's Story by Christy Watson. It is a number one international best thriller. It's a moving, lyrical, beautifully written portrait of a nurse and the lives she has touched. Christy Watson spent 20 years as a nurse, and in this intimate, poignant, and remarkably powerful audiobook, she opens the doors of the hospital and shares its secrets. She takes us by her side down hospital corridors to visit the wards and meet the unforgettable patients that she sees. In the neonatal unit, premature babies fight for their lives, hovering at the very edge of survival, like tiny Emmanuel wrapped up in a sandwich bag. On the cancer wards, the nurses administer chemotherapy, and long after the medicine stops working, something more important, which Watson learns to recognize when her own father is dying of cancer. In the pediatric intensive care unit, the nurses wash the hair of a little girl to remove the smell of smoke from the house fire. The emergency room is overcrowded as ever with waves of alcohol and drug-addicted patients, as well as patients like Betty, a widow suffering chest pain, frail, and all alone. And the stories of the geriatric ward, Gladys and older patients like her, show the plight of the most vulnerable members of our society. Through the smallest of actions, nurses provide vital care and kindness, All of us will experience illness in our lifetime, and we will all depend on the support and dignity that nurses offer us. Yet the women and men who form the vanguard of our health care remain unsung. In this age of fear, hate, and division, Christy Watson has created an audio book that reminds us of all that we share and of the urgency of compassion. This sounds like a wonderful book to listen to. Language of Kindness, A Nurse's Story by Christy Watson. Now we'll wrap up the program today with another non-mystery. It's called Graveyard of the Pacific, Shipwreck and Survival on America's Deadliest Waterway. This was published in June of 2023 and written by Randall Sullivan. It is a vivid portrait of the Columbia River Bar that combines maritime history, adventure journalism, and memoir, bringing alive the history and present of one of the most notorious stretches of water in the world. Off the coast of Oregon, the Columbia River flows into the Pacific Ocean and forms the Columbia River Bar, a waterly collision so turbulent and deadly that it's nicknamed the Graveyard of the Pacific. 2,000 ships have been wrecked on the bar since the first European ship dared to try to cross it in the late 18th century. Now, for decades, ships continue to make the bar crossing with great peril, first with native guides and later with opportunistic newcomers, as Europeans settled in Washington and Oregon, displacing the natives and transforming the river into the hub of a booming region. Since then, the commercial importance of the Columbia River has only grown, and despite the construction of jetties on either side, the bar remains treacherous, even today, a site of shipwrecks and dramatic rescues, as well as power struggles between small fishermen, powerful ship owners, local communities in Washington and Oregon, the Coast Guard, and the Columbia River bar pilots, a small group of highly skilled navigators who help guide ships through the mouth of the Columbia. When Randall Sullivan and a friend set out to cross the bar in a two-man kayak, they're met with skepticism and concern. But on a clear day in July 2021, when the tides and weather seem right, they embark. And as they plunge through the currents that have taken so many lives, Randall commemorates the brave sailors that made the crossing before him, including his own abusive father, a sailor himself, who also once dared to cross the bar, and reflects on toxic masculinity, fatherhood, and drives men to extremes. Once again, it's called The Graveyard of the Pacific, Shipwreck and Survival on America's Deadliest Waterway by Randall Sullivan. And that's all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately, presented by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books, and Library Services. This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.